Let us ask the Lord to bless the reading and the proclamation of his word. Let us pray. Loving and gracious Father in heaven, as we come to this time in our worship, where we more directly and specifically hear you speaking to us, both in reading your word and also in hearing it proclaimed, O Father, we pray that you may give us hearts to receive your word, to be attentive, to be thinking about what you are saying to us through your servant. We pray graciously use your servant as your mouthpiece. May the power of your spirit be present here with us through your word. May we honor you. May we truly worship you by giving our attention to what you are saying to us. We pray this in the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. As you see in the bulletin, we're going to read the first 23 verses of Acts 18. And our text is verses 9 and 10 of this chapter, Acts 18. Acts 18, starting at verse 1. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's word. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." Verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be a reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. Verse 18. So Paul still remained a good while. When he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing." And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Thus far, reading of God's word. May he truly bless the proclamation of it to us. Beloved congregation, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning the Lord speaks to us about the reality of life, as it involves challenges of all kinds, tough things in life. And the Lord rules also in the midst of those tough things. This morning, the Lord speaks to us about this from the life of the Apostle Paul. Maybe sometimes, as we read details of Paul and his travels, we can overlook what is obvious. That is, we can kind of forget that Paul was a real person, and he went through real life challenges. Paul was not unfeeling, you know, hard-nosed, like things didn't bother him. He was not so tough that tough things never affected him. And brothers and sisters, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit wrote about Paul's life, especially as we read it here in our scripture this morning and we hear it in our text. Yeah, obviously, Paul's life and calling was very different from ours, from yours and mine. But though the details may differ, some things remain as true for us as were true of Paul. We have heard this repeatedly in one sermon after another in Acts about the ruling Lord, right? That he rules in every bit and every part of life. Well, that's as true in our day as it was true in Paul's day. And also, just as the Lord encouraged and strengthened Paul, so also he does that to you and to me through his word and by his spirit. So may we truly hear the Lord speak to us this morning, and our theme is, in the midst of the challenges of life, the ruling Lord encourages Paul. While we read in our text, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, and that he said, "Do not be afraid, I'm with you," and so on. So first of all, in our first point, let's see why the Lord said this. So our first point is the challenges of life which Paul experienced. Again, I know it's obvious, but Paul was a real person. His life was real life with real challenges. If you just think a bit, consider just his travels. I don't know if you've ever looked at a map and saw where all his travels went, where he had already been. And he wasn't traveling by airplane. Just that. It must have been an ordeal to travel as he did, to travel so far and so wide. And not only that, but for such a long time. Just that in itself must have been so wearying, so very challenging. But of course, there's much more. There's also the spiritual battle that he faced. And he faced it in every place he went. Just recently, last Sunday, in Acts 17, we heard about him in Athens. And remember in verse 16, it says, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Well, that affects a person deeply, personally. And then you think of the strain that it must have been on him to be brought to the Areopagus and address the philosophers there. How taxing that would have been. You know, mentally, physically, spiritually. And then as we read chapter 18, suddenly it kind of strikes you. You know, verse 1 says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. Well, Athens was known for its philosophers. And Corinth was known for its immorality. It was a celebrated city of immorality. Talk about going from the frying pan into the fire. And we read how in Corinth, Paul came into contact with this couple who had to leave Rome. And they had the same trade as Paul. They were tent makers. And that reminds us that Paul was not, you know, just a gospel preacher. Not just someone who couldn't do anything else. Well, I say that because I have met ministers who have never done anything else. They never knew what it was to work at a trade, and so on. Well, Paul had a trade. And yeah, that was common to all Jewish boys. In fact, I read that a certain rabbi said, "He who does not teach his son a trade does the same as if he taught him to be a thief." For many years now, I have often encouraged young people to learn at least one trade. No matter what you plan to do, learn to have a trade. And the point here is we know that Paul worked at his trade to support himself. So that, for example, to the church in Thessalonica, by the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote, just like what we read earlier for law in 2 Thessalonians 3, "Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you." To the church at Corinth, later, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4:12, "We labor working with our hands." To the elders at Ephesus, Paul said in Acts 20, "You yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me." See, Paul literally worked his way along. And it was in addition to his preaching and engaging in conversation, persuasion, and so on. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, writes about how he had every God-given right to receive support. In other words, so that he would not have to be working with his hands. But he says in 1 Corinthians 9:12, "We have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ." So part of the challenges of his life included working to be able to provide for himself and those with him. And along with this, in chapter 18, verse 4, we read, "He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath." Well, that takes preparation. It takes great effort. So that, it says, he persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see how Paul truly experienced the challenges of daily life. And we see it also when we look at what we read in verse 5, when Silas and Timothy come from Macedonia. Well, they came there with relief to Paul. He wrote about it later on, in 2 Corinthians 11, where he says, "What I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied." So you see, this provided Paul with some relief so that he could concentrate more fully on preaching. And then notice, in verse 5 of our scripture, we read it, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. The word compelled there, well, it has a lot of different translations in English, but here it means to be distressed, to be under tension. And notice, that's by the Spirit, right? So it speaks of a great inner challenge, deep purpose to be testifying. which means that Paul was put under solemn oath to be doing this. And in verse 6, we read what Paul faced as a response. It says they opposed him and blasphemed him. That's not easy to face. But the Spirit of the ruling Lord gave Paul strength and gave him courage so that he would also pronounce God's judgment against them. You know what we read in verse 6? That's only by the Spirit of Christ that Paul would say, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean." See, in doing this, Paul is clearly referring to Ezekiel chapter 33. That's where you read about the duty of a watchman. And it shows us why Paul was compelled. He had an inner tension and distress. Because there it teaches that if the watchman does not warn the wicked, then the Lord says, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. But also, if the watchman does his duty, he brings the word as God commands, then the Lord says about the wicked, his blood shall be upon himself. See? That means the wicked is guilty for his own rejection. And Paul declares he has done his duty and that he was clean. In other words, he was clear of guilt of not being like the watchman is commanded to be. And so, in verse 7, we read how Paul left the synagogue, left them to their own blood guilt, and he ministered next door in the house of justice. And if we think about all the context here, brothers and sisters, it should be amazing to us how Paul just kept right on doing what the Spirit compelled him to do. You know, humanly speaking, we would say he had every right to finally take a break. And yet, exactly in such a situation, we see how this was blessed by the ruling Lord. And brothers and sisters, this is not uncommon. In those times where sometimes we really just want to take a break, but we are compelled to be doing what the Lord calls us to do, it's in the midst of that kind of a situation that the Lord especially gives blessing. So in verse 8, it tells us that even the ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord. And it says, and many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. See, all of this shows the challenges that Paul faced day in, day out, continually, everywhere he went. So much so that even the victory of some coming to faith, even that did not come without facing great challenges and opposition. Paul knew all too well about opposition and hatred. He had experienced it at Damascus, at Jerusalem, at Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, in Derbe, Thessalonica, Berea, and now in Corinth. Every place he went. And that's why the Lord spoke to Paul, "Do not be afraid." And this is more than just, you know, be not afraid or fear not. Literally, the Lord said, "Stop being afraid." That's literally what it says. And the Lord said, "But speak and do not keep silent." Well, literally that is, keep on speaking and do not become silent. So you see, Paul was struggling with a dejected spirit in the challenges of life. And it was to the point of being deeply fearful and becoming silent. Stop preaching. And about this, it's important that later on we see how Paul, by the Holy Spirit, wrote about how he came to Corinth. If you want to follow along with this, I'm going to read several verses from 1 Corinthians 2 about this. He came to Corinth in fear and trembling. 1 Corinthians 2, first five verses. It says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Listen to this. "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That," purpose clause, "that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." It's very clear, isn't it? Paul never saw himself to be the superhuman guy who had the power to change people's hearts and lives. He, not unlike you and me, was beset with weakness, fear, and trembling, seeing his own weakness and knowing God's grace to be able to rejoice in that weakness, because that's how God's power shone. You see, brothers and sisters, Paul could only go through all that because of the encouragement that he received from the Lord here in our text. So let us see in our second point the encouragement the Lord gave. Remember in our reading for law earlier in 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul by the Holy Spirit said, "Brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." And we have seen that Paul grew weary. He grew weary of the ongoing challenges of life. He struggled with being dejected in his inner spirit. And that's why, think of what he wrote in the beginning of 2 Thessalonians 3, which we read, where he said, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men." But then also, as he read, the apostle wrote, "By the Spirit of God, but the Lord is faithful." And he turned it to the Thessalonians and he said, "He will establish you and guard you from the evil one." And you see, now here in our text, we see that faithfulness of the Lord. We read, it says, the Lord spoke to him. Well, remember, Paul knew the voice of the Lord. He heard it back in Acts 9 on his way to Damascus, when it says he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he replied, "Who are you, Lord?" And we see it later also in Acts 23 and verse 11. It says, "The Lord stood by him and said," so he heard this voice, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." So you see here in our text, Paul again hears the Lord speaking to him through a vision, basically saying, "Stop being afraid, don't stop speaking." And especially our text, verse 10. "For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." I am with you. That, brothers and sisters, is a wonderful promise from Jesus. Remember back when Jesus was about to return to heaven and to rule at the Father's right hand? In Matthew 28, he gave that great commission. And he concluded it by saying, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." See, now the ruling Lord renews that to the Apostle Paul. "I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you." Now think about what happened before. Paul was hurt more than once. For example, at Lystra, he was left for dead. That's why, again, it must have been so wearing to face this again and again. Back in Thessalonica, opposition forced him to leave. The same took place in Berea. And now the Lord assures and encourages. This is not going to happen in Corinth. They would surely try to force him out there. He would be attacked, but no one will hurt you. I have many people in this city. Wow. That's an expression of the ruling Lord, right? I have many people in this city. He is now restoring his kingdom. The word for people there, you know, in Greek and Hebrew, there are different words for people that speak of people, you know, masses of people in general, or speak of God's people. And the word that's used for people here is the one that's often used for the people of God. But we have to think about it. That's not already a done thing. They are not yet saved. They are not yet my people. But this is going to happen as Paul continues to preach. So earlier in Athens, not so many people. Just a few are mentioned in Acts 17:34. And yet here in Corinth, the Lord had many people. And so, got to think about it. To make them his people, he encourages Paul to not fear. Just keep speaking. You know, whom he predestinated, these he also called. And that's why Paul has this job. And we should remember the harvest of the many people for Christ's kingdom, that increase, that belongs to the Lord, right? It's his work. Just like Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 3, one plants, another waters, but he said it is God who gives the increase. And in this way, Paul is not unlike anyone else who's called to preach and teach. What encouragement that is in the midst of the calling, that God gives the results. It's not in your hands. That's in God's business. So that was truly a great encouragement to the apostle. But brothers and sisters, this kind of encouragement also comes to each one of us. This encouragement is to show us that the ruling Lord has a plan and has a purpose in what he calls you and me to be doing. Do not grow weary in doing good, in doing what God calls you to do. The Lord knows we can get weary. As we day by day do what he calls. He knows about the challenges of life. Hebrews 4:15, he was tried in all points as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 2:18, in that he himself has suffered being tempted, same word as tried or tested, he is able to aid those who are tempted or tried and tested. So Isaiah 40 verse 29, listen to this, Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might, he increases strength. And that's what we see in our last point, the resulting victory Paul experienced. You know, brothers and sisters, it's obviously not a coincidence that we should read, just after Paul received this encouragement in our text, in verse 11, it says, he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. This is the first time since Paul left Antioch in Syria, the church that sent him out, this is the first time we read of Paul having a teaching ministry. It's almost like, finally, a bit of a more settled situation. So that Paul is not, so to speak, on the run, but remains here for a time. And just think of it. The Lord had many people in the city, and they were evangelized, and they were brought into the kingdom. But then they also had to be taught. And that's what Jesus had also included in the Great Commission, right? Make disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. So it's not just a matter of get people saved and then forget them. They need teaching in all that I have commanded. So Paul was teaching. But even in that, it doesn't mean that there were no attacks against him. We read it in verse 12. The Jews with one accord. That said earlier in Acts, for the unity of faith of believers. Well, here, that one accord speaks of an unholy unity and of mind and purpose. They with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. So it's obvious. We need to remember, the Lord promised no one will attack you to hurt you. He did not promise no one will attack you. And yeah, being brought to the judgment seat, that means Paul was brought before the Roman administration for that area. So here again, we see it, how the Jews, which are now the false church, they unite with the world against that which is true, right? There's a real effort here. There is a real threat to stop the progress of the gospel. But again, the Lord is with Paul. He has many people in this city. So, even though he's attacked, Paul is left unharmed. How? This is so amazing. Gallio, the Roman ruler, he had no care about these issues raised by the Jews. They were none of his concern. In verse 14, Paul is about to open his mouth to give a defense, but Gallio, in effect, says, I don't care about this. He says, I would bear with you to the Jews if this was about some real crime. In verse 15, Gallio says, if it is a question about your religion, I do not want to be a judge of such matters. So in verse 16, it says, he drove them out. And in verse 17, we read a very short, quick account of a guy called Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue. It says he was beaten right in front of Gallio, but it says Gallio took no notice of these things. By the way, in 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul writes about Sosthenes, our brother. So he also had come to faith. But here's the point, brothers and sisters. In these verses, 12 to 17, all this about Gallio, we see how the Lord ruled by using this ruler, by using his reaction to what he saw as just Jewish issues, and he refused to be a judge in those things. The Lord used that to protect Paul when he was under attack from these unbelieving Jews. And you see how all this leads to in verse 18, when it says, so, in other words, in this way, Paul still remained a good while, literally many days. Just as the Lord promised, I am with you, no one will attack you to hurt you. The Lord gave victory, which even included the actions of a Roman ruler, Gallio. And eventually, in verses 18 and following, we read how Paul left Corinth for a very short visit to Ephesus. And those verses, as we read them, that gives a sense that Paul has been given a renewed zeal and courage to keep on going in his travels and in his ministry. We read, as kind of an aside, of him having his hair cut to mark the end of a vow that he had taken. And it seems to have been a private vow, Not much is known for certain about that vow. But we also read how Paul traveled through a large area, the region of Galatia and Phrygia. That's a really big area. And you notice how it says, strengthening all the disciples. Paul could only do that because the Lord had strengthened him. So, in conclusion, brothers and sisters, I trust we see that also here in our text, in the context of Acts 18, it is, as we read in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations or trials and tests. Did you hear that? The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of those challenges of life. Yes, they're very real. We have seen how real they were for Paul. But the Lord is not unaware of them. He knows how wearying they are. He knows our fears. Never forget, he was tried. He was tested in all points, just as you and I are. And he's also able to aid or help us in all those trials, all those fears, all those tests. So this morning, he truly helps us in these words to the Apostle Paul. Stop being afraid. And don't stop doing what I've called you to do, for I am with you. Well, you see, for the Apostle Paul, he was called as an apostle to endure great stress, ongoing, almost everywhere, challenges of everyday life. In travels, in ministry, in facing opposition, and on. And in it all, the Lord assured him, I'm with you, I have many people in the city. To put that in other words, my purpose to bring you here will be fulfilled. Right? And so for you and me, in Christ, we are called to be a prophet, priest, and king. In all of our life. And yes, that includes the need to endure issues, challenges in our life. And the Lord assures you and he assures me, I am with you. My purposes in your life will be fulfilled. So as we will sing in response, O God, how good thou art to all the pure in heart. Though life seems vain, burdened with anxious care, my heart may faint with fears, but God, my strength appears, and will to endless years my portion be. May the Lord deeply encourage you as you face challenges in life. Amen. Let us pray. Our loving and gracious Father in heaven, we thank you how your Spirit ministers to our spirits. It is maybe possible that there is someone here this morning who has been deeply struggling with various things in their life, filled with fear, filled with uncertainty, in a very real sense, trembling. We read how that was true of the apostle. And each of us, in different ways, we know this in our lives. Oh, Father, we pray, by the power of your Spirit, through the word we have heard, may you deeply strengthen us and encourage us in our day-to-day living. You have a purpose in what you call us to do, and because it's your purpose, it will come to pass. And we are called to be faithful, to not be fearful, to remember that even in our weakness, you give strength, so we can continue on and fulfill what you want us to do. So we pray that you will bless your word to us as we have heard it this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.